Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the song by the pop music group Mike and the Mechanics called "All I Need is a Miracle"? The song is sung by a young guy who's in love with a girl. He recognizes too late that he's lost her. He's lost her because of his own selfishness. And the lyrics of the song says he would never admit he was wrong. He treated her like a child. Now he sees that his life without her is a shambles. Without her, as the refrain goes, it's always the same old story. And this young guy wants to get her back. And as he sings this refrain to her, I don't know if she can hear him or not, he promises, in fact, he declares with this emotion that's rising in his voice that he will love you for the rest of your life. So longingly, he sings, "All I need is a miracle. All I need is you." Well, in our text for today, Luke records a story about 10 lepers who are in need of a miracle. And as Jesus is proceeding on his journey to Jerusalem, his journey to the cross, his apostles, as we heard in last week's gospel reading, they say to him, "Lord, increase our faith." Increase our faith. And then Jesus tells them a story about servants. He says, servants don't expect thanks when they're just doing their duty. Now, what does this have to do with healing 10 lepers? The apostles say, increase our faith. And Jesus says, servants don't expect thanks when they're just doing their duty. Well, let's turn to the story. So as Jesus is traveling down from Galilee in the north through Samaria to Jerusalem, he's on the border here, the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he comes upon this village. And outside this village are these 10 diseased guys with leprosy. Luke doesn't tell us what kind of leprosy they had, what kind of skin disease they had. We don't know how disfigured they may have been. We don't know how much pain they may have felt, but surely they're in need of a miracle. Have you ever been in need of a miracle? Like the guy in the song whose girl has left him? Have you ever been in a situation where you've exhausted all of your ability to fix things? And you need help. You need help that's beyond the usual help. You need unusual help. In fact, you need supernatural help. We need a miracle. Well, these 10 lepers know that the help that they need is supernatural. And they approach Jesus for that help. And at least one of them is a Samaritan. From the parable of the Good Samaritan, maybe you remember that Samaritans and the Jews were enemies, really, even though they lived in the same land. And so this Samaritan is really a foreigner. They live outside the village because they can't go into the village. They're not allowed in. They're kept out because they are unclean, ritually unclean, and also diseased. They can't be with normal people because they might, I suppose the fear is of infection, but also because a pious Jew would become unclean if he associated with them or touched them. And so they approached Jesus. And they approach that, you know, as outcasts, they were supposed to yell when somebody came near them. They were supposed to say, stay away, we're unclean. Stay away from us. Unclean, unclean. People would either stay away from them or throw rocks at them, if you look at the movies of those times, because they didn't want to get the disease. Well, here they approach Jesus. They don't yell, unclean, unclean. They come to Him. And they don't ask for healing. They ask for mercy. Mercy. What is mercy? We talk about it a lot in church. If you look at the bulletin, we said mercy about a half dozen times at least this morning. Lord, be merciful to me. Mercy, I think a simple definition is having pity on a person who's helpless when you're in a position of power or authority. When you can do something about it. They call Jesus Master here to recognize that He can do something about it. He's in a superior position. Have pity on us, they say. What do you think they're asking mercy for? Mercy for their disease? Certainly. Mercy for being considered unclean by the rest of society? And mercy for being outcasts from the rest of society? Mercy from being separated from their families? Mercy from being separated from God because of their sin? Mercy for whatever they need? All these things? Yes. They're asking for mercy. In the same way, when we say the Kyrie, as we did earlier this morning, we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God can grant us mercy. Mercy for those sicknesses of our body and mind and soul. Mercy for that selfishness that separates us from other people and from God. Mercy for our enslavement in our sinful condition. So Jesus takes pity. He takes pity on these 10 lepers. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Why? Because that's the way you did things. In the book of Leviticus, it tells us about keeping uncleanness away from the community, keeping people pure, and then how to welcome people back into the community when they've been cured of their uncleanness of leprosy. As far as I know, the Old Testament only records 2 incidents of someone being healed of leprosy. The first is when the children of Israel were traveling in the desert on the way to the Promised Land. Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses, has a moment where she isn't a believer. And she's struck with leprosy because of this. And God heals her. And He sends her to the tent of meeting, just as Jesus is sending these 10 lepers to the priests to show themselves. And the priest is supposed to offer sacrifice, the sacrifice of purification. Well, Jesus is this sacrifice of purification. The second one in the Old Testament is where this guy called Naaman, who's like this big captain of the Syrian army, big powerful guy, also a foreigner, by the way, comes to Elisha, the prophet of Israel, because he has leprosy. And maybe this prophet can do something about it. He comes to see Elisha. Elisha doesn't see him. He sends his servant out to see him with a message. Okay, Naaman, go wash in the Jordan River and then come back. And Naaman says, why wash in the Jordan River? We've got plenty of good rivers in Syria. What's so good about the Jordan? And his servant tugs him by the sleeve and says, maybe you want to listen to this guy. What can it hurt? He goes and washes in the Jordan River, and his leprosy is cured. The same Jordan River where John the Baptist baptizes people. The same Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. Where Jesus went into that water to take upon himself the sins of the world. Where the great exchange begins to be made. Where his holiness comes to you. And our sin, your sin and mine, is absorbed by him. That same Jordan River, which reminds you of your baptism. Where he cleanses you and gives you mercy and takes upon you those sins. So Jesus sends the 10 lepers off to show themselves to the priest, because they are cleansed on their way. They're healed, in fact. And the Greek word for healing here, we translate it as healing or cleansing, is actually saved. They're saved. Salvation that comes from Jesus. Now what about this leper who comes back to Jesus? Is he disobeying Jesus? Because he didn't go and show himself? He didn't go to the temple where the sacrifice of purification was made? He comes directly to the source of his salvation. Jesus himself, who declares him cleansed by his simple word. See, we don't need a temple for sacrifices anymore because we have Jesus. We have the sacrifice who went to the cross for us. For this leper, Jesus was on his way to the cross. For you and me, before we were born and baptized, Jesus went to the cross for us to cleanse us of our sin, to cleanse us of our selfishness that plagues us even today. The Old Testament lesson talks about Ruth and Naomi. And I don't know, did you catch this? What village was Naomi from? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. And so it's kind of a little bit of a play on words, because she leaves because there's no food, and she comes back. Bethlehem. The house of bread. Who comes from Bethlehem? Besides David. Jesus. Jesus comes and says, I am the bread of life. He comes to bring you the bread of life, to nourish you with his own body given on the cross, his own blood in Holy Communion. Here in these two stories of healing from leprosy, reminding us of baptism, and here, the story about God providing for us in his mercy for Naomi and Ruth, just as he provides for us his good food of himself and his forgiveness and life and salvation. That's how he comes to you today, to bring you his mercy, to grant you forgiveness, to eliminate that separation that you have between yourself and God and between yourself and each other. So we give thanks. We give thanks in the sacrament of the altar. It's called the Eucharist, which means giving thanks. We give thanks to God for what he's done for us. for granting us His mercy in Jesus Christ, which allows us to live a new and empowered life. Do you think that leper just went back to living outside the village and yelling unclean? Why would he? His life has been transformed, renewed. Talk about a new lease on life. He can go back to his family again. He can see his friends he hasn't seen in who knows how long, as long as he's had leprosy. What a new life. What is he going to tell them? This man called Jesus changed my life. He had mercy on me. He is my Lord. And when he fell at Jesus' feet, he worshiped Jesus, recognizing that he had found God, the true God, the Son of God, who has mercy, who forgives and gives life and salvation to all who would receive his forgiveness. That's what he comes to give to you today. Life and salvation and forgiveness through Jesus. That's why we give thanks to Him. So do you need a miracle? You've got one. The miracle of the cross, where He goes without our asking. The miracle of the resurrection, which transforms your life and mine through Jesus our Lord. Amen.